Our next case for argument is United States against Dooley.
Raise the podium.
May it please the court. My name is Christopher Quinlan. I'm a recent University of Illinois College of Law graduate and extern with the Federal Defender's Office. I am appearing under the supervision of Federal Defender Jonathan Hawley, and on behalf of the appellant in this case, Ms. Karen Dooley. The issue in this case is whether the district court committed plain error in imposing multiple consecutive counts of aggravated identity theft without considering the applicable sentencing guidelines.
Well, counsel, as you know, this court rejected the Anders brief and directed counsel to address two issues. Your predecessor in this case then asked us to remand immediately, making representations about a single issue. And we rejected that remand, saying we really need two issues addressed. One is, what was the guidelines range? And then, given that guidelines range, did the district court properly exercise discretion given the note? And then you, or whoever was responsible for this brief, files a brief addressing only one of those two issues. Now, the Court of Appeals had twice said you must address two issues. Why does the brief address only one of the two issues that this Court twice directed you to address?
Yes, Your Honor. Well, I apologize for that error, and I realize it, but I am prepared to speak.
How could our orders have been clearer?
I guess
if the first order wasn't clear, the second order expressly identifies two issues to be addressed. And as I say, how can a brief address only one issue when the Court of Appeals has directed counsel to address two issues?
Yes, Your Honor. As to the range issue, it was clearly our mistake and our oversight, not explicitly addressing it in more detail and in consideration than we did in our brief. But as I said, I am prepared to speak on it if you're...
Okay. So what is the guideline range?
Ms. Dooley was sentenced. As to the underlying grouped counts, her range was 18 to 24 months, and that is not including the three counts of aggravated identity theft.
Yeah, okay. Forget the other counts. Suppose there are just three counts, three convictions for aggravated identity theft, three counts each ending in a conviction. The range could be either 24 months or 72 months, and it's going to be precisely one of those numbers. Because under the guidelines, the range, when you've got a statutory floor, is the floor. So is the range 24 months or 72 months when that happens?
It is my understanding that the statute does not list a range. The guideline states that the range, the sentence
is... The statute doesn't list the range. It's the guidelines that create the range. But suppose you start with three counts, which the parties are assuming run consecutively under this statute, and I'm going to raise the question whether that assumption is correct. You've got three counts presumptively run consecutively, but the presumption can be defeated. When that happens, does the guidelines make the range 24 months or 72?
I'm not entirely clear, Your Honor. I believe the range...
Isn't that the first question? I mean, let me put it this way. If the range is 72 months, and all the district judge says is, I'm taking the range, right, 72 months, you've got an in-range sentence, presumptively reasonable, the judge hasn't discussed criteria that may justify going outside the range, but it's very hard to say it's plain error not to discuss criteria never raised by counsel when all the judge does is say, I'm sentencing you to the range, which happens to be exactly 72 months. If, on the other hand, the range is exactly 24 months, and the judge imposes a sentence of 72 months without considering the guidelines criteria, then we've got a plausible case of plain error. So it seems to me to figure out whether we've got plain error for not talking about the criteria in the note, we need to figure out what the range is.
Yes, Your Honor, I think that's it.
And the answer, I'm not entirely sure, is not entirely helpful.
I agree, Your Honor. I believe, however, that it was our understanding that as to this statute, it's not to be considered with the other underlying counts, and so cannot be grouped
in. That's why I've asked you to ignore the other counts and just concentrate on the difference between 24 and 72 months.
Yes, Your Honor. Well, I would contest the fact that there is a presumption for consecutive sentences, so it would be difficult to understand what the court would be saying if it said, I'm going to sentence within the guidelines range.
So what you're saying, essentially, is that you're arguing that the range has to be 24 if 1028 capital AB4 leaves anything longer in the discretion of the court. That doesn't sound like a command for a floor. A term of imprisonment may run concurrently in whole or in part only with another term of imprisonment, etc. And the guidelines essentially just parrot that language. So you'd have to somehow get from that discretionary authority of the court to something mandatory not to exercise your discretion that way, which doesn't seem to make much sense, which would leave you with the lower range, which is where you need to be to have any argument.
Any hope. Yep.
Yes, Your Honor, I do agree with that, and I do believe the court had the discretion, or in
the statute gives the court discretion, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we are not objecting to that discretion that the court does have. Our argument is instead that procedural error occurred when the guidelines weren't considered at all.
When the court didn't exercise discretion, when the court didn't reflect an awareness that there was discretion to be exercised. Now, Ms. Dooley isn't a very attractive person. I'm not sure what the ultimate exercise of discretion is going to do for her, but certainly she has a right to have it exercised.
Absolutely, Your Honor. So the relevant guideline commentary that we believe was missed in this instance is the second one concerning the underlying group counts, which states that generally when the underlying grouped counts are grouped, there is a presumption that they be sentenced, the aggravated identity theft be sentenced concurrently. And as you have already stated, Your Honor, the judge was not aware of this presumption, and so the presumption does not apply. And so the presumption did not apply in Ms. Dooley's case, which resulted her receiving a sentence of 96 months instead of the 48 that's indicated by the sentencing guidelines. Unless the court has any further questions, I have nothing else.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Hartzler, I'm sure you can tell where we need to start. Given 1028A(b)(2) and AB4 and how they interact with the guidelines, what is the guidelines range in my hypothetical? Is it 24 months or 72 months?
Is it not obvious that I've been trying to dodge this question to get it back to the district court so the district court can decide it and the case might come before
you?
This
is purely a legal question. We need to get it resolved now. We have issued two orders directing the parties to address it.
I think.
And your brief, just like the appellant's brief, ignores a question this court directed the parties to address.
I think it's 24 months.
This is disappointing.
I think it's 24 months.
And why?
Because based on the subsection, the second subsection of the policy statement, the sentences generally should run concurrently when the underlying offenses are grouped. And I don't know how you overcome the generally in doing the calculation. I mean, this case might fall out of that in terms of the aggravation. But if you're simply looking at the 1028...
Maybe I'm just not being clear. Both sides seem to say that the application note, which has to do with how the district judge exercises discretion, tells us what the guideline range was in the first place. I'm not sure that that's right. usually the guideline range depends on the terms of the guidelines, right? It doesn't depend on how discretion is to be exercised later. And we normally think of the guidelines as producing a determinate range.
Yes.
Through the exercise of mandatory criteria.
Yes.
And then it's followed by discretion, either within the range or to go outside of it. And
yes, I understand. I don't think the guidelines address that. The guidelines for 1028A don't seem to establish a range. That's why I'm falling back on the policy statement, because the statute refers us to the policy statement. I understand the statute refers to the policy statement to direct the court's discretion. I appreciate that. But you're pressing to figure out what the range is. I do not find anything in the guidelines that establishes a range for a Section 1028A offense. So if the probation office were preparing a pre-sentence report and the government were to be advised, I think it would have to say, whatever it is for the underlying offenses, you get that. Take those away. We have three 1028A violations. What should the judge be doing? The range seems uncertain. We know it's 24 months for sure, and then the court has discretion. But I would think that it would be helpful to advise the court that in exercising that discretion, they should run concurrently if the underlying offenses are grouped, and they are in this case.
This is just one of those cases where the guidelines range is coextensive with the statutory mandatory 24 months.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. But
so
the problem
it's not
is
a range of the point, and then whether that 24 months is stacked or not is the discretionary judgment that the sentencing court makes. So the range is a fixed point of 24 months. Run consecutive to the underlying.
Maybe that addresses it. That's helpful, Judge Sykes. Judge Easterbrook, perhaps that's it. The range is 24 months. For each of these counts, the range is 24 months, which is what I began with, but I didn't articulate it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the question is, well, how do you exercise discretion for each of the counts? And you go to the policy statements. That's fair. Yeah, that's just like a mandatory minimum that we would have. The mandatory minimum, if it's higher than the initial guideline, becomes the guideline sentence. So the guideline sentence for each of these counts is 24 months.
And there are other odd anomalies in the guidelines that operate that way, where the guidelines range is actually a fixed point. It does happen from time to time, and then, you know, there may be some discretion about stacking sentences consecutively or concurrent, but that's a separate question. Does that make sense?
Yes, no, that's very helpful. Yes, yes.
Lifeline.
I think that wraps it up for me, unless there are additional questions.
I think so, too.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hartzler. Anything further, Mr. Quinlan?
No, Your Honor, unless there's any further questions.
Well, thank you very much. Our final case of the day is United States.